Now, I'm going to we're going to start a new series today. Usually when I teach on the Sundays, we do our teaching in series. That means we look at a topic and we go through it for a few weeks so that we get a full understanding of it. So the last time we were looking at what you are, who do you think you are, we were looking at the mind, and we're just going to almost carry on from there, but it's looking at it from another perspective. So today we're starting a series called The Warfare in Your Mind. The Warfare in Your Mind. So you've got this like really fancy picture here with a Roman gladiator's helmets. You might not be able to see it properly, just to depict that there is actual warfare going on in our minds. So that's what we're going to be looking at for the next few weeks, I believe. So today I'm going to introduce the topic. I'm going to look at three things this morning. The first thing I want to look at is, what is warfare and why warfare? We'll look at that. Then secondly, I'm going to look at what the term spiritual warfare means. Then lastly, I'll look at the type of warfare that is being waged against every single one of us, whether we realize it or not. And the interesting thing is that this warfare is not a fair one. The person who's waging the warfare against us doesn't have any mercy. They don't say, okay, this is a child, this is a young adult, let me just take it easy. No. The warfare in this space is not fair at all. So we're going to start by looking at that. Now, why am I saying, or why are we looking at this topic called the warfare in your mind? I believe that if you look around us now, particularly in like the 21st century, is this the 21st or the 22nd century? Well, you guys get the gist anyway. You realize that to the unseen eye, there's widespread warfare going on, very intense in the lives of people. Now, the reason that it might not be apparent to a lot of people that they're actually facing warfare or they're engaged in spiritual warfare is because it's hidden. And this warfare, whether we realize it or not, starts in our mind. That's why it appears hidden. But we want to explore that this month so that you and I can be aware of what's going on around us and what is actually happening to us. And using what God has provided, we can really tackle these things very well. And I believe a good understanding of this will help us in every area of life, and it can also help the people that we know as well. So the first thing I'm going to look at is, what is warfare and why warfare? Well, I Googled the meaning of that word warfare from Google, well, online, and I'll read it. It says, warfare is an activity undertaken by a political unit, such as a nation, to weaken or destroy another. So this Google definition says it's an activity undertaken from a political perspective, nation to nation, to weaken or to destroy another nation. So that's what warfare is. If you look around, well, let me not say if you look around, you realize that there's certain countries that will just, we'll look at why warfare now, that will wake up and they'll be like, I'm going to annex that nation. I'm going to, you know, and they know the only way they can do it is by exerting a kind of, exerting violence and force up to weaken that nation. Or to destroy the nation. So warfare is all around us that we see. This is on a political basis. So that's warfare. But why warfare? Why would another country or another nation or a nation go into warfare with another one? Is it just for the fun of it? Is it that some people just like war? No. War has a purpose. People are not going to invest, or nations are not going to invest in warfare just for the fun of it. Warfare is really expensive at a national level. So why warfare? Well, the main thing about warfare is this, and I wrote this down. Countries will engage in warfare with another nation with the view of capturing their territory, capturing their land, taking over their resources, and enforcing their views on the country that they're warfaring against. I remember, I think this was some years ago, and it's not anything to laugh about really. There was one of the Arab nations, I think it was Iraq then. The ruler of the nation woke up one day and he said, look, I need more resources in my country. And he looks around and he looks at another country, Kuwait. This is public knowledge, by the way. Kuwait was just right beside the nation, and Kuwait had a lot of oil, loads of oil. And he woke up one day and said, I need that oil. I need the resources in that country. And he went to warfare with them to capture the resources of that country. So what I'm saying is that warfare has a purpose. It is to capture something that somebody else has, to dominate a country or a person by violence, by force, or by tact. So that is what warfare is about. It's about capturing what belongs to somebody else without their permission. Capturing what belongs to someone else without their permission, using violence and every other any means necessary. Now, that is what warfare is about. Now, we're going to look at a scripture here. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 9. Now, this portion of scripture we're going to read was the first warfare that took place in this entire world. And where was this warfare? It was in heaven. The first warfare took place in heaven. Isn't that interesting? Now, I'm going to read Revelation chapter 12, verses 7 to 9. It says, then war broke out in heaven. Can you imagine that kind of thing? War in heaven? I thought heaven's meant to be like a peaceful place where everybody's singing. This was where the first warfare took place. It says, then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough. And they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. So we see the origin of demonic activity on the earth. So Satan, who was called Lucifer, was in heaven. And the Bible describes him in Isaiah. He says, when God created, the person we now know as Satan, he created him as Lucifer. And the Bible says that he was so beautiful, the way God created him. And he was they called him the covering cherub. That means he was in the presence of God the Father. He was one of the chief angels. He looked at all the things. He saw how God ran the whole universe. He was so beautiful that other angels would look at him and be like, man, this person. The Bible says that God wanted to make something so beautiful that people, well, he would be, you know, you would see this creation and you'd be like, wow. And he could sing as well. The Bible says that his whole body was made of pipe organs and instruments. So when he sang, he would have maybe 40 different kinds of harmonies that we haven't even heard. Bass would be the bass would be playing the drums. This being was perfect. And that's how God created him. Then suddenly, Lucifer now says, hang on, I can do what God's doing. I know how to run this business. And the Bible says that pride got into his heart. When pride got into the heart of this being called Lucifer, that's what he was created. Perfect. He now said, I'm going to subvert the administration of God. So what did he do? He began to gather cohorts. He began to whisper to some of the angels that, look, this God, that you guys are running errands on, he doesn't care about you. All he cares about is himself. Look, I can run this business. Come with me. Let's go. Let's break away. In fact, let's not even break away. Let's take over. Let's take over. Can you beat that? He wanted to take over heaven. Take over God. God that created him. And while he was doing all this, do you know what God was doing? God was just looking at him. He didn't say a word. God was just looking at him. Because he was just boasting at this point. Then he now rose up and he said, now I'm taking over. Now I'm taking over. When he said that, another angel rose up. Angel Michael. Now, from the Bible, we see that Michael is one that's mostly in charge of all the warring angels. Maybe at the time we'll look at angels and stuff like that. Michael rose up and said, what? You want to take over and enforce rule over us, the angels? That's not going to happen. Then they began to fight. Now, when they began to fight, they now realized that, hang on, this Lucifer guy has already recruited a third of the angels. She can come and sit here. That this Lucifer has already recruited a third of the angels. He had convinced them. He had convinced them to break away. And they began to fight. They began to fight. That fight was a hot fight. But the Bible says something about the devil's fight here. It says that as they fought, the devil was not strong enough. He was not strong enough. Do you understand? So what that means is God was looking at them and they began to fight. As they were fighting, the battle was surging. The battle was going on. Sorry, I watch all these like medieval history films, so I don't want to sound over dramatic as I begin to describe. Because I wasn't there, but I can just imagine how the fight was going. And the Bible says the fight was going on and all that. At the end of the day, they got Satan and they threw him out of heaven to the earth. That's why we have all these problems now. So what am I saying here? The first warfare was in heaven. And the purpose of that was that the devil was trying to take over heaven. And the other angel said, no, you're not going to do that. And war broke out and they fought and threw him out of heaven. Now, why am I saying this? We're talking about what is warfare and why warfare. I'm saying this because the same devil that tried to disrupt heaven, the Bible says that they kicked him out of heaven. Where did he land? On earth here. On earth here. He's on earth here. So what did he do? He now carried the same principles of warfare into the earth. And who is he fighting against now? The children of God. Not even just the children of God, every human being, because the Bible says we're all created in the image of God. Whether we're born again or not, every human being is created in the image of God. So this warfare is still going on, but it's quite subtle. You might not even know you're going through warfare, actually. So we see that here, the purpose of warfare is to capture territory, is to enforce rule over people against their wishes. Against their wishes. Do you get what I mean? against their wishes. So the second question is this. What kind of warfare is going on now? I mean, I don't think anyone here has seen the devil face to face with a gun saying, "All right, give me your dinner or else I'm going to, you know." But I might say that as it, give me your dinner or give me your house. Not physically. You can't see the devil or any of these beings. They're invincible. Which now leads me to the second point. So the second point is this. What is spiritual warfare? So we know about physical warfare. If you look around, you turn on the news, there was all over the place. There's war between Russia and Ukraine. There's war in Sudan. There's war. So we can see war physically around us. But that's not the kind of warfare that we are engaged in. We're engaged in spiritual warfare. So the second point is this. What is spiritual warfare? And I think it's quite important that we understand this, right? Spiritual warfare is warfare between spirits. It's warfare between spirits. So, what are the spirits that are involved in this invincible warfare? So, spirit means we can't see it. It is unseen. It is going on in an unseen realm. It is warfare between spirits. So what are the spirits that are involved in this warfare that I'm talking about? Well, there are three categories of spirits. There are three categories of spirits involved in this warfare. The first set of spirits are God's angels. If you look at Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 14, it says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" So the first group of spirits involved in this warfare are God's angels, millions of them. Now, the second group of spirits that are involved in this spiritual warfare are evil spirits, demonic spirits. Now, if you look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 4, it says, "For if God did not spare the angels when they sinned, but cast them into hell and committed them to the chains of gloomy darkness to be kept until judgment." So I've just picked up a phrase there. So this portion of scripture says that there are some angels that sinned. So that's when Satan and a third of the angels tried to take over heaven. And what God did was that he kicked them out of heaven. Through the other angels, they kicked them out, and God passed judgment on Satan. Then He said, "Your punishment, Satan, is hell." As we see here, so that tells us something, that God did not make hell for human beings. I've met people who will say, "Well, how can God create people and send them to hell?" And I said, "God doesn't send anybody to hell. Satan is the one that takes them to hell. Because Satan knows that that is where he's going to end up forever at judgment." So I'll come to that in a minute. So the second category of spirits that are involved in this warfare are evil spirits, which are referred to as demonic spirits, demons. Now, the third category of spirits that are involved in this spiritual warfare is us. Now, I'm going to read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. It says, "May God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So, every human being is a spirit. We live in a body and we have a soul. So your soul is a part of you that's conscious. It's a part of you that has emotions. It's a part of you that has a mind. So Every human being is a spirit. Whether we realize it or not, we are spirits. And we just live in this body. So when people die physically, their body goes and their spirits go up. Spirits don't die, actually. So why am I making this distinction about the categories of spirits that are involved in this warfare? So that you know that you are a spirit. And every human being, once they're born, from like child, like once you're born, you're a spirit straight away. And your body grows, and you have a soul, which is your mind, your emotions, and all those things. So spiritual warfare is war against, well, war between spirits. So it's not war between nations, as we can see physically. It's war between spirits. Now, if we now look at what warfare is, so what will be the, what kind of war will be going on between spirits? Why would a group of spirits be fighting another group of spirits? What is the territory that they're trying to capture? We'll look at it in a moment. So we now see that here, we have angels, we have one as a group of spirits, we have demons as a group of spirits, and we have us, humans, as another group of spirits. We looked at Revelations earlier, and we said that the first group of spirits have already fought in heaven. Demonic spirits who rebelled, fought against God's angels. And God's angels won. So that battle is finished. I mean, they've given them a knockout. And they don't have rematches in this, they didn't have any rematch. So, a set of spirits have fought already, and the battle has been won. So what does that now mean? The battle and the warfare now is no longer between angels and demonic spirits, because the angels have won. It is now between demonic spirits and the spirit of men and women. That's where the warfare is. So the question now is this. If we say warfare is someone trying to capture territory that belongs to another person, or someone who is trying to destroy or enforce their will in the lives of another person against their wishes, what that tells me is that the battle between these demonic spirits and the human spirit has one aim, or a number of aims. It is the devil trying to capture an individual, enforce his will on them, and ultimately take them to hell with him. But the really concerning thing is that a lot of people do not know that they're engaged in this kind of spiritual warfare at all. Because if people were aware, then they would be able to do something about it. But if someone isn't even aware that they're in the ring already, what will be happening is this. They'll be walking, and they can't see what's going on around them, but the enemy is attacking them. The enemy comes and he gives them like an uppercut from behind. And they're like, who did that? What happened to me? And they carry on. And the enemy smiles and he goes, and the next time he gives them like a punch to the ribs. It's like, who did that? A lot of people have received punches to the ribs. A lot of people have received brutal beatings, spiritually speaking. Or a lot of people don't know that that's actually happening to them. Spiritual warfare. So the last part I'm going to look at, the third and final thing I'm going to look at is this. How does the devil and his spirits? How do they engage in this spiritual warfare against us? I'm going to look at three areas this morning quickly as a starting point. Then as we go along in the next few Sundays, I'll describe these things. And they're so subtle. So the first one is this. Satan blinds the minds of people so that, one, they don't even know that there's anything going on around them. And when you preach the gospel to them, because the gospel is what the gospel is what gives us the power to be able to resist and win in this spiritual warfare. So the first thing that the devil does is to ensure that human beings are kept in darkness, that they will be perpetually, that's what he wants, oblivious of what is going on around them, so that he can do whatever he wants to them, whatever he wants to do at any point in time. So he keeps them in a dark place. He keeps them in a place that they don't even know what is happening to them at all, so that he can enforce his will on them. So he blinds the minds of people. If I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 4. It says, and even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. It says, the god of this age, which the Bible refers to as Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So the first thing that the devil does is he makes it like he doesn't even exist, or there's nothing happening, and you don't need God to do anything for you, because God is the only one through Christ that can deliver people from this, the tyranny of spiritual warfare that the enemy wages upon people. So the first thing he just puts people in darkness so that you're oblivious. Then that way he can have his way. That's the first thing that he does. The second thing is this. Apart from keeping people in darkness, he also does something to people, and that's very prevalent. He oppresses the minds of people. He oppresses the minds of people. There's a portion of scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, the New King James Version. It says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And of a sound mind. So the second thing that the devil does to human beings is he oppresses or tries to oppress the minds of people. Now, there's a study that I saw. Can you switch off that thing so that it doesn't go into the recording? There's a study that I saw that someone mentioned. I think the doc in the house can correct me if I'm wrong in this. And apparently in the United States of America, this study showed that at least half of the adults in America are on antidepressants or some sort of drug to help them sleep or just something to calm their minds down. Now, these things happen. And I'm going to put my hands up. I'm not saying that everything is from demonic activity. There are people who sometimes just overwork and they walk themselves to the bone. So not everything, please, is as a result of spiritual warfare. So I need to put that out there as a PS. But what this tells me is this, that the minds of people are under a lot of duress. Where is it coming from? Yes, some of it can be from overwork. Some of it can be that, you know, sometimes we're so busy and we just don't take time to rest. So that's natural. But I sense that a lot of it is from spiritual warfare. I sense that a lot of it is from spiritual warfare. I remember something that has stayed with me for years now. When I was much younger, I believe I was like a teenager. I was like 18, 19, and all that. And I wasn't born again. I got born again when I was 24. Something used to happen to me, right? And now thinking back, I now realize that, man, I was really stressed up from this spiritual, but I mean, I didn't even know what's happening. I would wake up in the morning as a young man, and I would be having these thoughts, aggressive thoughts, from morning till night. And by the time it was evening time, I would be stressed out. I would be so tired. I would be so worn out. Not because I'd done anything physical. I mean, those days as a teenager, I was just lazing about and watching films and playing video games. So I wasn't doing any physical activity, but my mind was constantly being bombarded. And I was like, what is happening to me? But I thought, well, and I'd be thinking about this. How about if this happens? How about if that happens? How about if this happens? And I would be stressed out by the end of the day. So I realized looking back now that was my mind under spiritual warfare. I remember about, I believe this was about 8 years ago. There was this pastor friend of ours who, he was going through a lot. He had some, like, loads of issues and stuff like that, and he was trying to sort out. I think at one time he lost his house, so he really didn't have anywhere to stay and stuff like that. So I remember that then we were trying to help him. So he stayed with us. We're living in West London then. He stayed with us for a weekend. And I was talking with him. We're just like, you know, just relax. You know, we'll try and work something out. We'll walk with you through this challenge. And I remember one day we were talking. And as we're talking, he said something to me. He said, Pastor Benson, I'm such a useless person, and I think I'm just going to kill myself. He was telling me this face to face. This is a pastor guy. He said, look, I'm a useless person. I'm just going to kill myself. This is too much. And I looked at him directly and I said, what did you just say? And he repeated it. And I brought his attention to something. I said, what you have just said now is not you. Those thoughts that you're having, they're not your thoughts. Something is whispering those thoughts into your brain, into your mind. Then it was as if the light bulb went up in his mind. And he kind of like looked and said, hang on, why would I want to kill myself? My life isn't useless. I mean, yeah, I have a challenge here or there. And he woke up. It was like he just woke up, like a light bulb came on in his mind. And I said, those are not your thoughts. Something is whispering that into your mind. And he said, yes, that's true, Pastor B. At that point, he was going through spiritual warfare. But he woke up out of it. Now, still on how Satan does this thing to us. I said, first of all, he tries to keep people in darkness. If he can't keep you in darkness and you happen to be born again, then he tries to oppress your mind with these thoughts. You'll be whispering these thoughts into your mind. And we'll look at how we deal with these things later. The danger is this. Part of spiritual warfare is this. People, something whispering something into your mind, and you, because you can't see it, thinking that these are your thoughts, but they're not your thoughts. They're not your thoughts. It is the thoughts. These are thoughts that have been injected into your mind by spirits. By spirits. The Bible says a lot about the mind. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we should renew our minds. so many things about the mind. Why? Because it is in the mind of man that spiritual warfare starts. That's where it starts. And I've seen a lot of people who have been so bamboozled. I don't know if that word is in a dictionary, but that means have been just ruffled off so much by these things. The last one I'm looking at is this. So we're on the third section, which is, what type of warfare do we go through, or do people go through? I've said sometimes, well, most times, Satan wants to keep people in darkness. Secondly, he wants to oppress and torture you if you're a Christian, and just deal with you and cause you to just... Now, the third one, and this is where I'll stop, is creating strongholds in our mind. Now, what is a stronghold? I got a dictionary definition here. It says, a stronghold is a place where a particular cause or belief is strongly defended and upheld. So, let me read a portion of scripture, then I'll explain what I mean. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds. Now, a stronghold in the mind of a person is a particular way of thinking that has been programmed into your mind, either by culture, by experience, by different things. So what the devil will do sometimes is he will arrange situations around you, depending on where you live and what part of the world you are in, and he begins to feed you with certain types of ideologies. He begins to feed you with certain kinds of opinions about yourself. He begins to encode certain things in your mind that you're not aware of. And once he does that, he backs out and he leaves you to self-destruct. Sometimes very subtly, sometimes very aggressively. And I've seen this a lot as a pastor and as someone that understands these things sometimes. One of the things that I see a lot about people is what I would call stronghold, self-sabotaging. Now, what does that mean? As an individual, even as a believer, God will position people along your way to help you. So it might be that God knows that in the future, you're going to need help in a particular area. And he just does it in such a way that you will come across someone that might be able to help you. Or it might even be that you're going to get married to someone and God just does the matchmaking and you meet that person. So he does all these things in the background without us knowing. However, what self-sabotaging does, which is one of the things, which arises from strongholds, that the devil encodes certain things in people, that the people who are meant to help you, you will disregard them, or even fight against the people that are meant to help you, so that you self-sabotage. And you now find people who are like, oh, life isn't working for me, nobody likes me, and all these things. And I'm like, look, you know, there are times that, you know, we have to like really tell people the truth. And like, I mean, you're like a really mean person. You're so quarrelsome. You're so, you know, what's up? Why are you so aggressive? Why are you so, you know, but you know, you don't, as a pastor, you're not gonna say that. You're gonna say, you know, I think you need to take things slightly more easy. When people annoy you, you know, try and give like a better response. You know, people do these things all the time. But what you're saying is like, man, you're so unruly. That's why people don't like you. You're unruly. Nobody wants to be around because you're always complaining. You're always backbiting against people. Self-sabotaging. Where the devil just does something to you and he leaves you, he winds you up like these toys that they used to have in the 90s. You wind the toys up and you leave them and they go... Sorry, they probably don't have those toys anymore. You guys are more like doing 3D models on the phone. It winds you up. And at that point, he's done his job. And you see someone self-sabotaging. And he's like, why are you behaving like this? Strongholds. Strongholds. And remember that the purpose of this is to destroy the life of an individual, to make life unbearable, to ensure that wherever this individual goes that is made in the image of God, they will experience hardship. Their minds will be bamboozled. They will not succeed in whatever they do. That's the aim of that warfare. And it starts in the mind. I come across people sometimes and I'm talking with them and they become like really aggressive. Like, oh, what do you mean, Pastor? You can't tell me what to do. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not your father. You know, you need to relax. You need to be slightly more, we can't do things like this. You need to be, and I just look at them, right? And it's like, they're self-sabotaging. And I recognize that. So there are people that will do that to me sometimes. In fact, some people have told me, you're this, you're that, and all that. You're just too, whatever. And I look at them at the end, I'm now like, okay, you know what? I'm sorry. You know, all these things that you said that I am, maybe I'm not aware of it, but I'm really sorry. And, you know, don't take offense. I really appreciate you and, you know, just please. And I'm right. But I know that what is happening in this context is there's something I'm meant to help them with. Yeah, I'm meant to help them to achieve a certain aim. But as they're speaking to me, they're trying to self-sabotage. And the purpose of that is so that I will say, okay, whatever, you're rude, you know, just do whatever you want to do and, you know, just leave me alone. But I recognize that this is a self-sabotaging scenario. So what do I do? Nothing. I just, okay. I think there are people who have seen me respond to certain people in the past and they'll be like, Pastor, why did you respond to that? You should have told them off. You should have told them, if it was me, oh, they wouldn't have seen the light of day. And I grin and I smile because I'm like, look, this person is self-sabotaging and I'm meant to help them to achieve a certain thing. And I'm going to overlook their self-sabotaging in that context. So it's not that I'm, you know, what they call that thing? I'm a dummy or I'm, you know. It's because I just think that, well, that's the price that I, recognizing what is going on, I have to pay so that I will not let the devil remove them from my life and kill them. You understand what I'm saying? There's so many other subtle things. We'll look at some of these things. So how do you, as an individual, as a believer, how do you deal with this spiritual warfare thing? How do you help yourself? How do you come out of it? Or how do you live a life that is cool? Or how do you help people so that you are victorious in this warfare all the time? All the time. We will look at that. These things are so subtle. I'm telling you, they're so subtle that we might not know. I went and I did, I was telling someone that, for me personally, as an individual, I have no stress whatsoever. Now, a lot of things have happened around me, a lot of things have happened in my life that if you were to weigh them in context, I should be a depressed guy now, I shouldn't be here. I should be at home just in front of daytime TV eating popcorn and ice cream and Coca-Cola, all those things that I shouldn't be eating too much of. You guys are smiling. You eat popcorn and ice cream in the mornings. and cake, cheesecake for that matter, and you, and custard with a lot of sugar. That's what I should be doing now. Just like church, well, work, maybe, but I'm not. Because God has helped me to understand these things that I'm talking about. So for me, no stress at all. Obviously, I get stressed sometimes, but stress, forget it. So how do you keep yourself in this place where things might be going haywire around you, but it doesn't affect you? It doesn't affect your mind. God has given us all the answers. How do you help people who are engaged in this kind of thing? Maybe they're directly related to you. How do you help them to contain the spiritual warfare in their own mind as well? We'll look at that. Okay, so you guys are still quiet. You're looking at me like, man, tell us something slightly more cheerful, Pastor Benson. Tell us about, don't worry, I'll pick a slightly more cheerful topic. So this morning, I'm going to stop there. We've looked at what is spiritual warfare and why warfare. Well, we've looked at what is warfare and why warfare. We've looked at spiritual warfare, and we've looked at three things that the devil does to perpetuate spiritual warfare in our minds. He makes people spiritually blind to think that nothing is going on. He oppresses the minds of people, and he creates strongholds in people, certain attitudes and things that will just cause them to continually self-sabotage and end up their lives in a way that God doesn't want it to end. But God is good. In all this, one of the reasons why Jesus came was to end this tyranny of the devil in the lives of people, so that before Christ, the devil could do anything he wanted to do with us. But with Christ now, he cannot do it. The only thing that we need as believers is just the knowledge that this is what he does and deal with it. And the things that God has given us to deal with these things, they're not things that are out there. In fact, as we go along, you guys will be slightly shocked about how you deal with this kind of thing, this spiritual warfare thing. They're not things that are out there. They're things that are so simple. So a child, an adult, anybody can make use of what God has provided in Christ. Do you understand? So this morning, I'm just going to ask that we pray. And what I want us to pray about, before we pray, I say something quite a lot. For me, the Christian faith is not a joke. It's not just me coming on a Sunday to church like this, which I love. The Christian faith is alive in my life. It is something that applies to my life every single day. If not, I'll just sit at home. What's the point? What's the point if the gospel cannot make a change in my life? What's the point if I'm still bamboozled and I don't know what to do? The Bible works, I'm telling you. And I'm grateful for that. So this morning, I'd just like us to just pray. I'd like you to pray as well. And what I'd like us to pray about, this is a personal prayer between you and God, is that God, help me to be conscious of the things that you've provided for me as an individual. God has provided the means by which we can live peaceful lives. He has provided the means by which we can live lives that are stress-free, even though we might be encountering stress around us. These things are available to us. So let's just pray this morning and say, God, help me to understand these things. Help me to understand these things about the peace that you've given me in my mind. And if you know anyone who is struggling at the moment, you might want to pray for them and just ask God to touch them. that God, this person is going through a lot. Touch their hearts, touch their mind, bring peace to them. Because God loves every single one of us. He loves every single human being. That's why Jesus came. He says in John 3:16 that he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son. That whosoever believes shall have eternal life. And that eternal life is not just when we get to heaven. The eternal life starts now. So we'll just pray. Then I'll pray for us. Our Father and our King, we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you for the knowledge that you've given us to be able to deal with these things that are invincible around us. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for us, to give us the authority to win and live a victorious life in this realm of spiritual warfare. Lord, I commit everybody that is here into your hands. I commit everybody that is related to us. I committed everyone that is connected to us, our friends, people who we know, even the people at our office who might be going through one mind challenge or the other. Father, your word says in the book of John chapter 14, 27, you said you've given us peace, even though our minds are troubled. Your mind also says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says you have not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and of a sound mind. Father, this morning I speak peace into every situation. For those who are experiencing turmoil in their minds, Father, I speak peace into their minds in the name of Jesus. Father, guard our hearts, guard our minds, Father, with your peace in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.